right. Well, let me tell you what's going on this morning. For those of you who are just joining us on the inside of the program, it is a beautiful Tuesday. Normally, we look forward to Tuesdays because Tuesdays is when we get the privilege of having, you know, shedding the light on some promising St. Lucian women who are doing their thing, charting the course, you know, setting trends. Despite all odds, they are pushing through and they are making things happen. We have one such in our company this morning. Jessica has been doing quite a lot. A lot of you would know, and who don't know, you get to find out about it this morning. Let's take a word from our sponsors first. Jessica St. Rose is the name. We're coming back and then we'll pull up the screen. A word now from our partners, the Bank of St. Lucia. Thank you so very much. Court St. Lucia and Dermalogics Clinic. We'd like to say a very special thank you. We take a word from them and then we come back. When we come back, we start our conversation. Might be a good time to tell somebody to link up right now. We are live via our Facebook feed and the official page of Radio Caribbean International. We'll be back.
If you're ready to own your own home, then it's time for us to meet. At Bank of St. Lucia, we believe in you. We believe that life is sweet. A mortgage that fits your life with amenities that can't be beat. BOSL Home Sweet Home. Now that's where life is sweet. A wise retirement. EduStat 2. No other bank will give all that to you. Convenience banking. Bank anywhere. Other bank can compare. BOSL Home Sweet Home. An all-in-one package, nice and neat. BOSL Home Sweet Home. Yes! Life is sweet. I know I'm telling you.
Wear designer brands like a boss this month with the stylicious campaign Only at Quartz Optical. Beginning October 18th, buy two pairs of glasses from only $499. Plus, this month, as we are celebrating World Sight Day, children only under 12 get a free pair of Brighter View frames. No cash, no problem. Shop with Ready Finance and pay $0 for 90 days. Make an appointment online today at quartzoptical.com and ask about our free eye exam. Step out in style with your new pair of eyewear only from Quartz Optical. Terms and conditions apply. Optical, value you can see.
Acne and problem skin should not be a problem. Dermalogics Laser and Aesthetic Surgery Clinic welcomes you to the new age of dermaceutical skincare. Since 2006, we have been offering the best in medical-grade solutions for acne, hyperpigmentation, sun damage, melasma, and anti-aging. Dermalogics is an exclusively registered clinic for the advanced Melanopeel Skin Clarity System of Acneceuticals, Medical Facials, and High-tech devices. WhatsApp us at 72BOTOX or call 450-0100 to schedule your awesome clear skin transformation today. We are located at the Providence Medical Center in Rodney Bay. Dermalogics for aesthetic medicine solutions since 2006.
All right. Blessed love and greetings in the name of the Most High to everybody that's locked in right now. VL Sid, good morning. Hopeton Williams Senior Canada is up in the building already, trending with us on our Facebook live feed. And those of you on the frequency, wherever you are, it's a pleasure to have you this morning. And even more a pleasure to be on this morning with the beautiful and awesome, absolutely very busy woman, Jessica St. Rose. Jess, good morning. An honor to have you. Finally, we have you on board, isn't it?
Good morning. Am I being seen properly? Are you hearing properly?
I am hearing with a little bit of an echo. I'm not sure why. You have headsets, right? You have headsets on? Do you have headsets on? Hello?
You're missing
headsets. Yes, you should. You should put it on because we'll get a feedback if not. I know you're always well equipped. You're always on them Zoom calls. So I know you're very well equipped this morning to make sure. I know your headphones is not far. Right. In the meantime, while you get your headsets, darling, let's talk a little bit more because we have such a stint. Yeah. Are you hearing now? Is better? It should be. All right, guys, give us 2 seconds. Let's just sort this out.
Not Jesse.
You're not hearing me, Clelly? Are you hearing me now? You should.
I'm hearing you.
Right, and I'm hearing you better. Yes, it's better. There's no feedback now. So it's good. Okay. It's good. Okay. Right. 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 Jess, great. We have such a long stint. So when we look at your biography, there's so much happening there. Quite a busy young lady. And we're going to get into all of that and more, because I'm sure it didn't start off with that. Did it start off at all that busy? Take us back to you as a child. Were you always a very busy, very active, very involved
As a child? As a child, mm-hmm. I was always a very active person.
Talkative, okay. Always engaging, always wanting to know more, always wanting to be part of more. So I think growing up, that has always been part of me. That has always been my life. I always wanted to be involved in stuff. I was a talkative child at school. My report book always had about me, Jessica, being very talkative in class. Gosh. And I think that is what me... me being a very outspoken person.
Very, very much assertive. All right, wonderful. Apart from being talkative and troublesome, what was household like? What was growing up like? Did you have any siblings? You know, walk us through some of these, you know, these grounded moments of yours.
Yes, actually, I never lived with my mom. So I don't know what it is to live with a mother and all of that. But my grandparents raised me.
Oh, girl, you're lucky.
And raised me into this beautiful young lady that I am today. Yes, mm-hmm. I was raised. And you know how grandparents love, our grandparents' love can be. So I was growing up with my grandmother. I have one sister, no brothers, and my father's only child.
Okay.
So you can say that I was a bit spoiled.
Oh, you were.
I kind of had things my way, but as you, but you know, as you grow older, you know, you learn and you understand life better.
Right, right. Wonderful. Okay, so a little bit sheltered, but what were some of the grounding forces? I mean, growing up in the household with the grandparents, well, I know what that is like. I grew with granny most of the time as well, too. And I don't know. I wouldn't trade it, you know. I don't no hard feelings, mom, but I wouldn't trade it. I mean, there's certain, now that you're older, there's certain values that I know that granny was able to instill in me that is so critical to standing out and being counted in these times. So were you brought up with some of those more core values as well? Like we're talking about the discipline side of things and, you know, some of these.
Absolutely. I would like to say that my grandfather was more of the discipline type.
Okay.
My granny would be the one that I would come to when I want to get my way.
Right.
Right. But my grandfather was more of the discipline type. He was more of the strict man. Mm-hmm. And he was more of the one who would instill in me about building, following my dreams,
right,
and not giving up in life, and, you know, working for what you want, working hard. And he always used to tell me, Jessica, I never took a loan to do anything.
Oh, gosh,
I worked hard for what I wanted. Everything I have is what. And I feel like, Papa, that was back in the days, you know. Now I don't have to take loans, you know.
I know.
But you know these. But you know about working hard,
mm-hmm,
working hard and keep going and never giving up.
Right.
He really instilled that in me, and working hard for what you want. Don't mm-hmm. depend on anyone.
On anybody.
And just being that independent character, he mm-hmm. really instilled that in me.
Well, I want to do that, and I want to just take a word from the partners, because we have such a long stint on that biography there to get into. So we want to get into the field that you ended up in, why you chose that field. But, you know, we also want to talk a lot more about the humanitarian side of things, because you're very much you're an advocate in so many ways for so many different mm-hmm. cars, not your usual, you know, from back then kind of cars, but you're driving the force in some beautiful human stuff. And in the fort for some beautiful human rights issues as well. So we're going to come back and have a word on those issues when we get back. The Bank of St. Lucia, Court St. Lucia, and Dermalogics Clinic. We take a word and then we come back. For those of you who probably just finding the time to log on to us, Yolinda Childs, welcome. It is 20 minutes before 11, and it is She Speaks for Tuesday. Jessica St. Rose is in our company today.
Love the new home, son.
Yep, home sweet home, thanks to BOSL.
Let me help you with those dishes.
Say that. What's the one thing you wish you did differently?
It would have been smarter to start our retirement planning earlier. In our days, it was just work, retire, and live on a pension. I mean, we're okay, but if there was something like that wise retirement account in my day, I would have jumped on that early.
Well, that's good to hear. Would you believe we signed up the same time we settled on the house mortgage? BOSL made it so easy, where a little bit every month is manageable for what we plan to earn.
Age brings wisdom. A Wise retirement account brings peace of mind. Visit BOSL today and sign up for your Wise retirement account.
Oh, and also bell bottoms. Would have never worn bell bottoms. Although, Mom did find them hot, you know.
Really?
It's time! It's Black Friday at Quartz! Shop today for your chance to win up to $100,000 in cash and amazing prizes! Plus, for the entire month of November, you can save up to 85%! And when you shop with Ready Finance, you pay absolutely nothing until 2022! The time to shop is now! It's Quartz Black Friday deals all month long! Shop in store or online at shopquartz.com. Offers are for a limited time and good while supplies last. Conditions apply. Quartz, bringing value home.
Problem skin should not be a problem. Milanopil's medical-grade cosmeceutical and acneceutical skincare effectively clears discolorations, melasma, and acne. Visit us to learn more.
Clear skin is possible with Milanopil.
Get it exclusively in St. Lucia at the Dermalogix Medical Laser and Facial Aesthetic Clinic, located in Rodney Bay at the Providence Medical Center on the same floor as Lucilec.
Right, and here we are back down on the inside with Jessica. This is our guest on She Speaks For Today, Jessica St. Rose. Jessica, there's marketing and media coordinator. There is, I tried to just sift through a few of them. What is your position though at the NIC? What do you do there?
I was in compliance. I deal with employers. Mm-hmm. I was in the marketing and PR department. I'm hoping to get back there very soon.
Wow.
And I see if you're listening. But I work in compliance. I work with employers. I deal a lot with, I issue compliance certificates to employers. I deal with a lot of employers and lawyers and law firms, accounting firms on a daily basis.
Wow. Okay. Right. Wonderful. Great. But that's not all where the stint for you. Listen, you're involved in so many different things. Just between last week and week before, I had you, I was sitting here and Calix had you twice, wearing two different hats. Basically along the same line of humanitarianism, but, you were here locked down with the ladies from the regional group. What is the name of the group? Let's talk about some of the things that you're involved in outside. I want to go deep in your advocacy life. I want to go into that deeply, and I want to find out, because you've been making some brilliant networking, and you guys have been able to make things happen. And I like that. Something about that speaks to me. In this time, and I want to talk to Jessica, but I also want to make it, highlight that aspect of Jessica where persons can understand that you're not limited just because you're from a little island called St. Lucia back there. You're not limited to the changes and the effects that you could have on a regional and even international front. If you just find yourself the right channel and places to channel your passion. So I want to spend some time there, if that's okay with you. You stuck or you seeing me or you hearing me? I'm not sure what's going on.
Yeah, the Wi-Fi
is giving us some stress this morning.
I heard you, Mary.
Okay, right. So right now you're on a number of different bodies across the region.
But I'm hearing you.
You're also part of the LGBTQ. What is your position on that group? What position do you hold there?
Okay. With the LGBT community, I'm a board director of United and Strong. That's the only LGBT organization in St. Lucia. I'm also a Caribbean representative on the International Gay, Lesbian, Bi, Trans, and Intersex Organization, North America and Caribbean Board. I'm on the board as a representative. This is the largest international gay rights organization. Mm-hmm. So I represent as a Caribbean rep on the North America Caribbean Board. Mm-hmm. I've also been a women's secretariat on the same world board, and I represented the entire world as a women's Secretariat on the World Board. And I have done tremendous work in the activism work when as it relates to LGBT. I have been at the UN. I have done my own panel discussion at the Commission of the Status of Women at the UN, at the CSW. I have done workshops, done presentations at world conferences, and St. Lucia, being an activist nationally for the rights of LGBT persons. Mm-hmm. I'm also a women's rights person where I've done work with Histoire. I have done mentoring and trainings with Girls of a Feather. Name it in the world of activism, it's in Lucia, regional, international. I think I have hit every stone, or if not, probably put my feet somewhere in there.
Right.
And currently, I have also founded St. Lucia's first 758 Pride organization, where we hosted St. Lucia's very first Pride in 2018 was the very first Pride. Obviously, this year we did not have it due to the lockdown and everything, but St. Lucia having the very first Pride, 758 Pride, I was the one who founded the organization along with the rest of my team, and that is going to be, so hopefully next year we will bring back Pride into St. Lucia, because I know the community is eager to see these things and to have it
right
going. And recently, last year, are you hearing me?
Yes, I am. I'm hearing you.
Okay, all right. And last year I do have political aspirations. It's one of my dreams that
right.
I'm focusing on, apart from the many other things that I'm involved in. And last year I applied to do the Women in Politics Leadership Institute with the US Embassy, which I was awarded a scholarship. Mm-hmm. Did the program, graduated from the program, which was an awesome program. And this year I founded an organization together with four other colleagues who did the program, called Regional Women Organization in Leadership. Mm-hmm. And it's an organization that we formed, and we submitted a proposal to the US Embassy to host the program this year. Mm-hmm. And we were awarded with that scholarship. And from there, it just started shooting out. So this year, we held the program successfully. Mm-hmm. 26 women graduated in the program. And we're moving forward now with another program, which is called AIM. Mm-hmm. Advancing and Inspiring Mentees. Right. So there's a lot going on, right. A lot of women empowerment, women development, my activism work, life at NIC, my personal life, and I'm just enjoying the ride and taking the journey one day at a time.
It's a lot.
It comes with its challenges, I'm sure.
Right. We're going to get into some of those, because this cannot be easy work. I mean, this cannot be easy work. We're getting to some of that in a while. Funny that you should mention AIM, because I was just about to ask you, my next question to you would have been, you know, that's quite a lot. You've been so involved. So you are out there, you're pushing hard, and you're getting involved on different levels in different areas. What is the ultimate aim? What is the ultimate goal? What do you hope to achieve from all of the things that you're now involved in? What changes do you hope to see? What are you working towards, Jessica? Are you hearing? Oh, is she hearing me? Jesse?
I think I lost you.
You lost me for a moment.
No, I didn't hear the question. Sorry.
Okay, I was asking you what is your ultimate goal? What is your ultimate aim? In with all of the work that you're doing, all of the things that you're getting involved in, all of these different things that you're now putting together, you're mentoring, you're trying to change the atmosphere and the dynamics for so many different things, and how we as a society receive certain things, and how we can find ways to operate with, you know, in settings respectfully to each other. Right. What is your ultimate goal? What, when you think about getting involved on all these different levels, what it is that you're hoping to achieve?
At the end of the day, it is all about inspiring people and leading people to advance themselves and to be who they want to be. I love human beings, and that's one thing about me. I love people.
Aww.
I love being around people. I love seeing people excel. I love seeing people grow. I love seeing that I love knowing that I can assist someone and bring them that joy, bring them that self-confidence that they need, and give them that inspiration that they need to do better and to advance themselves. And it's all about being there for the people, being for the people. And this is what I'm all about, and this is my goal. And at the end of the day, I always tell people tell me that you're doing all of this work, you're not getting anything out of it. You're not getting any money. I don't get paid for anything that I have been doing for over 10 years. Mm-hmm. The only job that pays me is NIC.
Right.
But the reward of knowing that I have touched so many hearts, uh-huh. knowing that I have helped people, I have given them that encouragement, that inspiration to move forward and mm-hmm. to be their true self, that is my biggest reward. That is my ultimate goal. And so I will continue inspiring, continue being there for people the best way that I can. And that alone brings me so much joy. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what continues to bring the blessing, because it takes a lot mm-hmm. to do this work. It doesn't happen in one day. It doesn't happen in one night. And just knowing that I have the faith and the drive from the people is what keeps me going. And that is all, that has always been my ultimate goal, is just to live for the people and be there for the people.
Absolutely. Because I was about to say that's a lot. And if you're getting involved, and most nonprofit, most NGOs, they normally change around people very, very often, because people just, okay, there's so much of their time that they want to give into something that does not bring, as far as they concern, monetary or material return, you know. So they give a little bit and then they move on to the next. But you have stuck with it, and right. you continue to stick with it, and you continue to stay. And it mustn't be easy, Jessica. Let's be real now. I'm about to get real with you. You're ready to handle my reel this morning. I know you can handle my reel.
I'm ready.
Being a member of a group like the Elder, especially within our Caribbean community, where we are it's such a taboo. Well, more and more we're getting to see more people being more acceptable to the LGBTQ, the plight, a little more accepting. But we cannot deny right. that we from a Caribbean people, a country where we are so homophobic, it's funny, you know, and we tend to, most of the time, you know, you are now charting a course where probably it sometimes it don't get easy, because I'm sure you have to deal with the general public. You might have to deal with people maybe from a religious standpoint who thinks that what you're doing is satanic, or what you're involved in is, why are you trying to push that agenda? Mm-hmm. Why are you protecting this? And this is not acceptable. Mm-hmm. So you have so many of that. How do you deal with it? How have you dealt with it, and how have you been able to continue to remain so focused and strong, and continue the championing for persons on that community?
Well, I'll tell you something. It's all about passion. Mm-hmm. You must be able to live in your passion, and I will quote a saying by Jamisha, who recently was one of our facilitators in the program, and she mm-hmm. said, your passion is what will be your mission. Right. And this is what keeps me going. This is what drives me, because the backlash will always be there. I have gotten backlash from the time I started doing this. Yeah. And when I see the plight of my people, I see the plight of my community, and they're we're a very vulnerable community in the minority who don't usually or really have a voice, and mm-hmm. they need that voice, they need that person to stand up for them. And I always give the story of when I started this, mm-hmm. and it was not about me wanting to just come out and say, oh, I'm gay, I'm a lesbian. It was not about that. It was about taking a stand mm-hmm. for the persons that I saw that were attacked, that mm-hmm. were killed, that were harassed, and needed that sort of movement, that sort of standing for them. So that is why I decided to do this. And again, I have a very supportive family. Mm-hmm. I will say that. My family has always been there. They're very supportive. Of course, you will get those that will not agree, because I grew up in a very Catholic home and all that. Mm-hmm. But my family is my backbone. And I have a very supportive core of friends as well, because you need that support. Doing that work, being that type of person, you need a very strong support. I have gone down to the worst of worst, dealing with my mental issues, and dealing with my mental health and all of that. It has not been easy. And a lot of solutions know how I am when it comes to my mental health, because it has been very public. But you know what? I had to learn how to deal with that, to continue doing this work, because I can't assist people. I can't pour out from a cup that's half full. I have to pour out from a cup that is overflowing. So I had to do the internal work to deal with myself mm-hmm. so that I can continue doing this work, because there are a lot of people who rely on me, who are there needing me for support, especially when it comes to the LGBT community. And that is what I continue to strive to do, because at the end of the day, some persons may look at me and think that, oh, you don't probably have it hard and stuff like that. But it's not about not having it hard. There are people who have it worse than me who needs that person to stand up for them. Right. And this is my joy. This is what, and like I mentioned earlier on, it's all about passion. When you do something you love, mm-hmm. you will not feel like you're working any day in your life.
Absolutely. Now, Jessica, for those of us who are sitting on the outside and think that we are in a position to cast a stone, or we're in a position to judge, or we're in a position, what is a normal day like? Is there ever a normal day for a person within that community? What are some of the things, what are some of the nightmares that you face? What, you talk about your mental health. And I want to go there with you this morning, because I believe you have so much. And you're right. You're totally right in identifying. It is a good thing that you're now identifying yourself as a transportation being used for, because then many people would not be able to. And the fact that you're able to be that strong to overcome so much mental health issues or otherwise, you're able to rise above them and still chart your course and stick true to what it is that you believe that you were called to be a voice for. You certainly are a person that is chosen. I that's the only way I can see it, for that particular reason.
Thank you.
Let's talk now. Let's get a voice now coming right directly from the inside. You are exposed to a lot of people. Probably right here. Let's skip it to St. Lucia. That's probably scared. They probably find themselves on that side of the fence, and they're scared. They're scared to even, so they have found themselves in so much mental confusion, and it couldn't be easy, and probably be exposed to them, and you have to now try to help them to see how it is. Some of them maybe never will get over to the fact to accepting themselves on that level, and that must be a very tough place to be. So let's take us on the inside as to what a normal, if it's ever a normal day for a person from the LGBT community, so that we can now better understand, instead of we just stand on the outside and we decide, oh boy, that is a gay man that day, and oh yeah, I mean, we've been real, we know what we hear, oh lesbian that day, and you know, and you get on, this is a human being who has beating hearts, who has feelings, who has contributions to make to society just like anybody else. And I honestly believe it's unfair to just limit them based on what you, how you feel about their lifestyle. And I think nobody is in a position to judge that. Ours might not be out there in the public, but we may have some things in our closet too that really should be, come out of the closet. A lot of us that appears normal should probably have some issues that we should take out of the closet as well. It might not be that, but it might be something else that we want to judge somebody else's for. So tell us what it is really like being in that community, and some of the horror stories that probably people within the community face, maybe on a daily.
Maureen, there are so many horror stories, especially about homelessness. I deal with that on a daily basis, where I get calls sometimes in the middle of the night. Jessica, I need you. I get calls from all over. Someone is being attacked, if someone parent put them out, and I have to find help. I have to take them into my own home. I have to take them into my own home until I could get some sort of assistance for them. So it's not easy walking the streets where you've been attacked, where you can't even be yourself. You're transitioning, and you choose to dress how you comfortable, your gender identity. What is your gender identity? You dress according to your gender identity, and persons attack you for being who you are. And these are some of the struggles, the little struggles, because some of them are even bigger, when we hear of the killings that persons have gone through, and the families and the turmoil that families have to deal with when the daughter, the son is being killed because of the sexual orientation, the gender identity. So it's a lot of hurdles to jump over, to cross over. And the community in St. Lucia, as much as yes, we have progressed a lot, we have advanced a lot, the work of the organization, the advocacy, the lobbying, all what we have done has gotten up to some sort of height. Mm-hmm. It's not there yet, but I do believe that change is going to come, change is going to happen. We do have organizations, ministries, personnel that we speak to that are being very much more supportive, because before we could not sit down in a governmental meeting, in a governmental office, and go to speak with anyone on LGBT issues. But the fact that now we can do these things, the fact that now we can have an event without trying to hide. I remember listening to stories of persons having gay parties back in the days, and they would not, it would be at somebody's home in a backyard, it's with nobody knowing, because they were so afraid, it was so taboo. But the fact that now we could have events like that, we could have gatherings, we could have a St. Lucia Pride, that says that we're going places and that things are changing gradually. But that doesn't take away from the violence, the discrimination, the stigma that is still attached to it. And once laws are put in place, the continued lobbying, the continued activism, the continued advocating continues, things will change eventually. But the horror stories are there, especially the homelessness. We get a lot of young boys, especially, who are on the streets, who are prostituting themselves because they can't get a job. The parents don't want them in the house. The families have turned their backs on them. And of course, a lot of these cases lead to suicide, lead to depression. And that is where it gets deeper and deeper.
We need to have a whole conversation basically surrounding that. You know, I think we need to cross-section this conversation. You know, gone are the days now. We need to, you just have it in your own community where it's the people, you know, but we need to really and truly sit and have a conversation where, but you continue the advocacy work, and you do quite a lot. How is it possible, Jessica, apart from, well, we know the passion is there, but how is it possible to be, have a full-time job, which you execute very, very efficiently, I might add, because I've had a reason where you have had to come through for me, and you did. So you execute your day job brilliantly, but yet still is able to be so effective in so many different roles and so many different areas that is so critical, especially now. And it takes a lot more than a normal advocate will have to do, because what you're doing is taking a lot more. You have a lot more work to do. Let's be real with this.
Yes.
How do you manage? How do you balance this? How do you balance all of that and yet still find time to free up a little bit? Because that's important. Balance is important. How do you do it?
Yes, yes. More, and to be honest, I think it's the grace of the Most High, I must say. And this is something that I have found. Spirituality is something that I have found over the years through my journey, through my wellness and my mental health and my soul searching. And I think that's how I do it, because sometimes I ask myself, Jessica, how do you do it? And it takes a lot. It's not just about, I come here in the morning, I do NIC's work, I go out there. And so when I get home, I go to the gym, and something that I have instilled in me is to take care of myself. And I think taking care of myself is what allows me to do what I have to do. And it is so important that we have to learn how to take breaks and take a step back when we think it's becoming too much, too overwhelming, because that takes away from our productiveness, that takes away from our efficiency, that takes away from us wanting to do as much as we want to do. So I have learned, I know my boundaries, I know my barriers, I know my triggers. So when I feel like too much is on me, I take a step back. Right, and I think this is what has helped me a lot. Going to therapy, exercising, going to the gym. I have made it my duty to constantly be at the gym. I see you there, Maureen.
Yeah, oh,
you
God, know, girl. Gotta put it in the work.
And that really keeps me grounded. It really helps me create that balance in my life, because when I get home at night, I go into more work. I go into a lot more work when I get home at night on that laptop, doing proposals, me having meetings. Every day of the week, I have something to do. Every day of the week, I have something to do. And so sometimes I have, and also another thing, as I have made it my duty on a Sunday, I am not doing anything. Work.
That's how it was designed,
really,
you know?
Really, really important.
Yes.
On a Sunday, I'm not doing any work. Absolutely. I need to take some time for myself. For yourself. And that, I think, is what we need to learn as women who are in leadership, who are in movements. We need to learn to balance and need to know that we too have to take care of ourselves before we can continue taking care of others. So that's how I balance it, with the grace of the Most High, and continue dedication, belief is in me as well. And the belief in myself doesn't come easy. Sometimes I need my friends to give me a slap, tell me, Jessica, what are you doing? Jessica, get up, because I can get down to that real low point in my life. Support, that's how I do it.
Right. In wrapping up, because we got to wrap up, time is definitely against us. I think we need a whole day where we speak about everything. We just put a blanket over that and we just, apart from you speak, we just have a day with Jessica and we sit and we have a good long talk about everything. Because there's so much, I believe, that we have not uncovered there. But half an hour is just very limited, so we make the most of it. In wrapping, though, two things. You spoke about your mental health. Now, what is your take, briefly, in the stigma that we, as a people, again, here we go again, as a people, we attach so much of a stigma to mental issues, mental health issues, and fail to realize that this is such a broad thing, and this could happen, you could be sitting there and tell yourself you're all good, but you'll be suffering little mental health issues you're not even aware of. So the fact that we tend to try to attach a stigma onto it again. What say you to that? You're a woman that is out there. You're doing things. You've spoken on forums with the UN. So you ain't no little PI. You're a big, established, professional woman who suffers this. So it don't choose who it going to. It just clearly states that. So anybody at any time could be faced with that. What is your take on mental health and the way that we look at it as a society?
I think mental health, before it was really taboo, because persons only looked at mental health as someone at the asylum, someone at the mental wellness center, someone who is crazy, someone who's walking the streets.
Yeah.
But mental health issues, and for most Black people especially, mental health is like, oh, what you talking about, mental health? Like, that's taboo. That's a Western thing. That's a white people thing. Mm-hmm. But over time, women have realized that mental health is a topic that needs more engagement, that needs more focus, that needs to be out there more, because we suffer so much silently that sometimes we're afraid to talk. And I always tell people, it's good to talk. There must be at least one person that you can confide in, that you can talk to, and whatever that may be, or whatever may be your coping mechanism. However, we're not going to talk about the bad coping mechanism, because there are some coping mechanisms that could be bad, that are good, but they're not really good for us.
Right.
So it's something that we have to continue talking about. It's something that we have to be engaging on. I think mental health should be a focus in organizations. I think that workplaces should look into the mental wellness of their staff to make sure that, you know, the staff are able to take care of themselves and to be productive, because you want good outcomes on the job. So I think it's something that we have to continue engaging. I think now that mental health is becoming more of an open topic and not such a closed and a taboo topic, especially for women who are in leadership positions. Women are often seen as a strong backbone of society, a strong family oriented, and the caretaker of
the pillars,
everything. But we're the caretaker of everything, the pillars of everything. But when it comes to our own sanity, our own mental wellness, we tend to forget our own self-care. So I think this is a conversation that has to be ongoing, has to be out there, and not something that person should be afraid of, not something that person should think that it's taboo, it should be spoken about in closed doors. I think that is something that we have to nationally take on, because the pandemic has showed us a lot of these issues that are coming up, and issues that have been there for years, but the pandemic opened it up more.
Opened it up more,
and we're seeing it more and more. So mental health is something that should be on every agenda, taking care. And as women in leadership, as women in empowerment, as women in society, we need to be more open with these issues and don't be afraid to talk about it. And it doesn't have to be, when you think of mental health, I want to stress that it doesn't have to be someone who's walking on the streets and look like something is wrong. It can lead to that if we don't take care of it.
That's right.
If we don't take care of it, it can lead to that. But there are little things that we may not think is so big, but the little pain, that the little worry that we do, that could lead to so much. So the conversation, I believe, should be out there, and we should take a more national approach on these mental health issues.
Wonderful. And finally, just a brief word for parents, because that seems to be a lot as well. Like you said, you're dealing with a lot of homelessness. For parents that are dealing with children who may not be what we call straight, and you get to realize as a parent, how should you react as parents? Give a little advice to parents who probably identify some traits within their children, within their household, that may not be what they expect or might look like the person is leaning on the other side into the LGBT, and how do you deal with that as a parent as well? A nice little advice, because I think that's a lot of the grounded issues is coming from there. Parents who are not prepared to accept that, not by any means. Yeah, so, and then you put them out and you get a whole lot of stress going on out there. So briefly, I'm touching that as we wrap up. It's already 10 after 10, after 11. So we got to move on.
The conversation is going so nice. I'm just like, yeah. But parents, I mean, in St. Lucia, generally, we don't get parents who are very supportive. Sad to say, we don't get parents who are very supportive. But I always try my best to encourage parents to be for the children, first and foremost. I mean, you made a child, you don't make the, you know that old saying, you make a child, you don't make the child's heart, you don't make the child's future. At the end of the day, this is your child. Learn to accept a child for who, you may not understand it. Some parents still don't understand it. You may not accept it, the path or who that child has become. Mm-hmm. But I don't think this is your child. This is who you give birth to. Try your best to be there and to love the child for who they are. I remember when I came out to my mother, she told me, "It's not what I like, but this is who you are. I will accept you. I will love you nonetheless."
Kudos to
and
mommy.
This is what I try to instill and try to tell parents. It will be hard. It will be very hard. And again, accepting or being there for a child may not happen one time. So it's okay to have that backlash. It's okay to have that no communication between you and that child. But over time, you will get there. Mm-hmm. You will understand what is happening, because you would not want your child to be on the streets and to hear that your child has been killed that your child has committed suicide because of you not accepting, because of you not loving that child. So try your best to be there, try your best to understand. If you don't, if you can't do it alone, reach out to the organization, reach out to me, and I will take you through it. I have spoken to parents who the children have gone, who have put out their child on the streets, and when I speak to them, it's a total turnaround. It's a total turnaround, and they welcome the kid, they welcome the child back into the home. Mm-hmm. So you're not alone, and I applaud the parents who stand up for the children, no matter what, who tell the children to be you, I'm there with you, nobody's going to hurt you. I applaud the parents who do that. And those who are unable or who find it hard to accept and to cope with it, we can help you. We can address it with you. We can speak to you. We can be there for you. We can invite you to sessions. We have sessions. You come with your child. You know, it's all about community and togetherness and learning. And again, some things may not happen one time. It takes time, and we're not going to push you. We're not going to force you, but we're going to take you along that journey, take you along that ride. And when you're ready, you will do it. But at the same time, still loving your child and still protecting your child.
That's right. Love it. Jessica, that was a beautiful conversation this morning. Not long, but it was definitely worth the few minutes that we were able to get it in there. Quite a number of persons are trending with us. Shamak! I see Shamak. Yolinda Charles, Janine, Lucia, I want to big you up as well. And all the rest of the folks who were tuned in this morning. Jessica, it was an honor to have you this morning. And, you know, we want to wish you
the very best.
Thank you
so much.
And, you know, your advocacy and everything else.
Really,
and we
want
to wish you the very best in politics, in your politics journey as well. We hope to... I can see it.
This is something on the rise. St. Lucia, look out. This is something on the rise.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much. Really
have a good one.
Appreciative.
No problem, darling. Have
thank
a good
you,
one.
Thank you,
wonderful.
RCI. Thank you, Maureen.
It's a pleasure. There you had it, guys. Jessica St. Rose was in our company this morning on She Speaks, and it was an honor to have her. The Bank of St. Lucia, thank you very much. Court St. Lucia, thank you so very much. And Dermalogics Clinic, we're going to take a further break here. And then I tell you what, when we come back, we go into one full hour with the compliments of Janu Credit Union. As a matter of fact, I want to do it now. Janu Credit Union is, their Wishmaker loan is on. You can get up to $25,000 if you're a member. And becoming a member is very simple, actually. You need two forms of ID and a proof of address. And then you'll take it from there. I think you could even start the process online. So get on their website or get on their social sites, and they'll walk you through the process. And in the meantime, that's for you becoming a member. In the meantime, if you're already a member, well, I hope you know that you can actually apply for your Visa debit card, and you can be a holder of a debit card as well with General Credit Union, and, you know, and enjoy all of the amenities that a credit card or debit card holder enjoys. So you can definitely do that, making life a lot easier on you as customers, as clients. Right. Guys, give them a call. That's Janu Credit Union. The number is 730-9569. That's 730-9569. There's also 713-6407, 713-6407. There's a landline at 452-4807. 452-4807. The extension is 251. That's for Janu Credit Union. Thank you guys so much again for trending with us this morning. Play and I are about to start off and go into one full half hour of music with the compliments of Janu. We pay some bills and then we're coming back.